Welcome to Everything Belongs, a podcast for those living, creating, leading, and thriving while in the deep end of life. I'm your host, Madison Morgan, leadership coach, creative consultant, and speaker. I coach soulful visionaries and go-getting mavericks who desire to create art of their lives and take their work both deeper and higher. In this show, I'll be bringing you an overflow of conversations with my favorite thought leaders, teachers, healers, and creatives who inspire me to live more fully in my own power, worth, and wholeness, along with offering some episodes where I share my own practical insights, behind-the-scenes peeks into my process, and tools I use on my own journey. There will not be much we shy away from here because at this table, everything belongs. Therefore, you can expect me to ask the uncomfortable, juicy questions. You can expect that you'll hear people you disagree with on the podcast and maybe even ideas you've never previously considered. I trust you with your own discernment as we take this deep dive. You can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and be challenged by the guests as they share their diverse experiences and views of the world. It's my hope through learning to see that all of it belongs that you will develop a more sovereign way of holding yourself so you can playfully go after the life, relationships, and career you are made for, to let all parts of yourself have a seat at the table, to lead and create from your deepest truth and become your own source of validation, all because you finally know you're worthy of it. All that's required to get started, that you show up curious and willing. Let's dive in. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Everything Belongs. Today, I want to share with you a microdose on meaninglessness. If you're anything like me, you know, the last couple years through the pandemic and with the political climate, and it's just been really hard. I work with a lot of people, and a lot of people are really talking about how they don't have a lot of capacity right now. And I'm noticing my own capacity shifting and changing. And noticing that I'm asking myself a lot more, is what I'm doing really making that much of an impact? And that's a conversation I'm having with a lot of people right now, a lot of my clients. So this episode feels really timely. I'm going to be sharing about my own experience with apathy and meaninglessness, and then 6 ways that we can access meaning even when the world feels really grim. And the reason I wanted to share about this is because I actually had an experience at the gym this morning that felt really potent for me. I was at the gym and I was just overcome with this sense of meaninglessness. And now it's not uncommon for me to pendulate with my cycle from a high of ovulation, that pure inspiration for life and my work and wellness and living my liberation. And then whenever I'm more luteal or before my period, I get that slow swing back to a little bit of existential angst, but it's feeling a little bit more potent right now, especially with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. That was very difficult for me, especially as an ex-evangelical person who used to be so entwined in that world, very, very pro-life in my history and advocating for this Roe v. Wade being overturned at one point in my life. And so for this to happen and to understand the narratives of the other side of, I guess, the street or the argument or whatever it is, it's just been weighing really heavy. And I was at the gym and just asking, like hearing my thoughts in my head, like, what's the point? What's the point of all of this work you've done to liberate yourself? And what's the point of even being here at the gym right now? Like, what's the point? And I asked myself that, and I just went ahead and pushed forward, lifted my heaviest weight, which, by the way, is not that heavy. I'm new to lifting heavy weights, but pushing my body felt really good. I felt my feet firmly on the ground. Pushing the energy downward got me back in touch with what I've actually been feeling. And yes, I can do it, right? I can show up. And for the last few weeks, I've still been grappling with the meaninglessness about my own sacred work in the world. It's like, yes, I can show up. Yes, I can do it. And yet it still sometimes feels meaningless. My trainer actually came over to me and she checked in with me. She said, like, she squatted down next to me and said, "Hey, like, Mads, are you okay? You don't seem yourself lately." And truth be told, like, I haven't felt like myself lately. I told her, truth be told, I'm scared and I'm angry and I'm sad. How even though I've been going to the gym because I know I need to and I want to, I've been going through the motions. I told her about my grief and how I fear for my trans friends and how I fear for myself and for my sisters, how activating it can be living in such a conservative area. I live in Missouri and with family even who don't believe that I deserve rights. Sometimes it feels like there is nowhere to put this sacred rage that actually makes a difference at all. And when I was telling her this, I was holding back tears. And, you know, her response was full of a lot of different things and advice that I, you know, I won't even share here, but it revealed to me what was going on with me. I was holding back tears because, you know, apathy is also a sensation. Apathy is also a feeling. And sensations like rage and grief are sometimes so big that apathy comes in to protect us. And I realized in that moment that all the meaninglessness I had been feeling was apathy. It was actually too much feeling that I went numb. So instead of exploding onto other people, I implode. Although I'm 99% sure my trainer and I don't see eye to eye on everything in the political or religious sense, her genuine care for me as a person really did move me and supported me in that moment, and it gave me hope. It allowed me to find a sense of safety in the gym space, which helped me de-thaw some of that apathy. So with each squat, I mobilized rage. With each deliberate movement, it helped me let go of what I've been holding. And I did my best in that workout to feel it all and to push myself to a safe limit and to feel my body shake in resistance and to feel my strength. And within 10 minutes of working out that way, I went from working out is meaningless at times like these to working out is exactly what I need in times like these. I went from judgmental, critical, apathetic, and disconnected to open, feeling, purposeful, and connected. And I don't know about you, but the last few years, it's been harder for me to find the same motivation for my creativity, my work, my sacred work in the world, my movement practices, and being deliberate, with my devotional practices. And I think that's because meaninglessness can spread. Meaninglessness spreads and it causes all that was once thriving to start to atrophy. And it reminds me of a scene from like Stranger Things when that dark goo starts getting all over everything. It reminds me also of Ecclesiastes, which is interestingly enough, my favorite book from the Bible and the Old Testament. And so for those of you without biblical context, I want to give you a little bit of context before I share about this. So in the Old Testament or the beginning chapters of the Bible, Solomon was the person who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon is a king who had had everything he wanted. He's had it all. He's seen it all. Wealth, power, freedom, wisdom, play. He's had everything, which in this book, he concludes as meaningless. It's a 12-chapter book devoted to this man's grappling with a meaningless reality. And if that sounds grim, keep on listening because this is my favorite book in the sacred text after all. And there's a reason for that. So Solomon oscillates from the beauty of the meaninglessness and the sense of purpose it offers back to hopelessness. And from my perspective, he also wrestles with apathy and anger and just back again, right? Back and forth and back and forth. And that feels so resonant with me. It's not unlike what I seem to do. In chapter one of the book, he speaks of wisdom and hard work. And I'm going to actually quote what he says here. He says, "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher, "utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. What has been will always be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, 'Look, this is something new. It was here already long ago. It was here before our time.' No one remembers the former generations, and those yet to come will not be remembered by those who followed them." And then he goes on to say, "Look, I've increased in wisdom more than anyone who's ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned this, it's too chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. More knowledge is more grief. God. And then he goes on in chapter 2 to describe how all of the riches and pleasures and goodness that the world has to offer all end up somehow feeling really meaningless, like chasing after the wind. And he uses that phrase over and over again, like it's like chasing after the wind. He speaks of the tears of the oppressed and the power of the oppressor, the injustices of the world, and the cognitive dissonance and knowing wisdom in this. He grapples with injustice and privilege and youth and aging and hard work and fucking off, just like so many of us are today. And he concludes in chapter 5 that given the meaninglessness of it all, that, and this is a direct quote, he says, it is good and appropriate for a person to eat and to drink and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days that God has given them. And it feels to me, and it always has ever since I was very, very Christian, this book was my favorite, because it feels like a sort of nod to the obscurity and unfairness of life. He assesses that he has seen all of these different things in life and reconciles the humbling fact of it all, that the wicked and the saints and the wise and the foolish and the wealthy and the poor and the youthful and the old, they're all human and they're all flesh and it all ends in death. So, and this is a big so, you might as well eat and drink and be happy. And I find that to be beautifully sobering. And it's why I love it so much. It's eerily hopeful and humanizing. And by the end of the book, this is again a direct quote, he says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom." Whew, I love that. I'm going to read it again. He says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might." And what I personally glean from this sacred text after many years contemplating on it is that meaninglessness is not only a very real part of the human experience, it's actually a launching pad to something much more interesting. Much more interesting. And so let's just assume for a second that everything is meaningless, all of it. That we're on a floating rock in an ever-expanding universe, and we have maybe 75, 80 years here on average, and most of us don't know our great-great-grandparents' names, and we will not be known by our great-great-grandchildren. And that is just a sobering fact. All the work we do in 100 years might not even be remembered, and that's a sobering feeling. That for me touches meaninglessness, and it's a taste of humility. It's not meaningless in the sense of I want to give up. It's meaningless in now I know my right place among things. A taste of my smallness, that when I'm in a low, overwhelmed by political debate upheavals, or maybe I'm just luteal, it might make me all like throw up my hands in the air and be like, what's the point? And I want to play with that energy, right? I want to play with like, well, what is the point? And whenever I get there, I don't want to play with it whenever I'm there. But if I give myself some time to contemplate it, I get to the point where I'm like, let's play with it. Perhaps it is meaningless. Perhaps if it's meaningless, then we get to create the meaning. And that's where I find myself, like whenever I'm really in that place of like, what is the point of this? Whenever I ask myself that, I get to create the meaning. I don't know about you, but I find cosmic relief in this perspective. It's like an exhale to me that life is like a big joke. I get to be small. I get to laugh at my mistakes because they are meaningless. I get to stop trying to control it all because I can't. I get to stop taking myself so seriously. I get to forgive and I get to let go and I get to stop wishing people were different. I get to release my opinions and projections and fantasies of what would be better whenever I just get my way. And by the way, I do think some things would be better if I just got my way. Like I really do believe that. But for the sake of surrender, just play with me here. We are meaning-making machines. Our brains create meaning. It's not a matter of like, if we will create meaning, we will create the meaning. We are always creating the meaning. So when meaninglessness comes in, as it will, and I begin overthinking about the state of the world, as I do, and as I will, and perhaps as you do, and as you will, and when urgency comes flowing through my body, wanting to solve it all now, because hot damn, I want to solve and fix things like my life depends on it, which will inevitably leave me depleted and dry. And when I wonder if there's a point to the work I'm doing in the world, there is, but I forget. And I start spiraling into wondering if it matters all that much what I do and I say and I write. I get to let it all be just like chasing the wind. I get to let it all humble me and make me small and put me back into my right place, into my right size. I get to remember my true place among all things, and I get to make the meaning I desire. And I think that's where the magic really lies, because when we go through and into our own meaninglessness, we touch our apathy and we feel our rage and our grief, we somehow open. This is a moment where the ego gets to dissolve even for a second, and we get to feel our rightful place among all things. And in our right place and in our right size, in these perfect little lives that we live, born at this specific time in history, I cannot believe that it has no meaning. Even if it's a meaning of my own creation, even if it's a meaning that I'm conjuring up, the truth is that it means something to me. It means something to me. I give it the meaning. So I will keep showing up for my writing practice because it means something to me. And I will keep sharing my work because this community means something to me. And I will continue enrolling my programs even when the world is burning, because this world and each person in it, they mean something to me. And I will go to the fucking gym and I will nourish my body because I mean something to me. And I will relate to my family who believes different than me, who believe I deserve less rights, because my rights and theirs mean something to me. And I will show up for my community organizing, because even when I want to eye roll and when I want to cry, those moments still mean something to me. And I will decorate my home with the best linens that I can afford and light candles and sip my tea and burn my incense, because beauty means something to me. And I will make love slowly and sweetly because our pleasure means something to me. And I will continue on because as meaningless as it all is, it really fucking means something to me. It all just means so much to me. So if you are asking yourself lately, how do I even show up in times like these? Does anything I do even matter? Here's the balm I want to share. It's a six-step process. The first is to feel the intensity of your apathy. On a scale from 1 to 10, how charged is the apathy? How apathetic is it? Step 2, write down the sensations of your apathy. Is it a heady, spinning, overwhelming feeling? Is it tingling numbness? Is it vibrating in your chest like stuck grief? Or maybe it's simmering like rage. Just write down the sensations of the apathy. Step 3, set a timer for 10 minutes and write it all down. Give yourself only 10 minutes, which I think is even a long time. I almost wrote 5 minutes, but give yourself 10 just in case. And write why you're apathetic or angry or sad. Yell into the paper, shed tears. Write why it doesn't matter. Write it all out, but give yourself a time limit. Because at the end of that 10 minutes, you're going to do step 4, which is read it back. Read it back to yourself. And now that you know it's all meaningless, step 5, write down why it means so damn much to you. Let this be your guidepost. And then step 6, write your meaning statements. Write what you will do because it means so damn much to you. I will blank because it means something to me. Over and over and over again, because you make the meaning. And it really does mean something. Just like I went from working out as meaningless at times like these to working out as exactly what I need in times like these, you too can flip the script. But you can't do it just by bypassing how you actually feel. Here are some things that perhaps you might resonate with. Sharing my work is meaningless at times like these gets turned to sharing my work as exactly what I need in times like these. Going to therapy is meaningless at times like these turns to going to therapy is exactly what I need in times like these. Up-leveling my income is meaningless at times like these to up-leveling my income is exactly what I need in times like these. Going on a walk once a day is meaningless at times like these to going on a walk once a day is exactly what I need in times like these because it matters to you. So you make the meaning. You are God expressed. And I know if you're here, it's because you care a whole hell of a lot, just like I do. So if you, like me, are touching into that meaninglessness, as you will, because you're human, let yourself go all the way through until you see the cosmic joke of it all, and that is that you make the meaning. You make the meaning. It's through you that the meaning is made. And yeah, it really does all mean so damn much to me. So I'm with you. Thank you for listening to this today. We are starting something new with these microdoses. Most of them will be turned into blog posts as well. So if you are someone who prefers to read and enjoys keeping up with a blog and audio format, you can head to my blog. It's madisonmorrigan.com/journal, and it should be there. Just look for the title of the podcast in the blog and the journal. It'll be right there. And as some of you know, my team and I are about ready to enroll my program called Awaken Her Soul. And if you're curious about really getting clear on how to create meaning and stories in your life that serve you, not just flipping the script, but really owning your story and finding power in your story and learning to authorize yourself and authorize your life, which really just means writing a damn good story from it, because it fucking matters, then consider joining us. Enrollment doesn't open for a couple weeks, but you can go to awakenhersoul.com, get on the wait list. We have a workshop coming up called Awaken to Freedom on July 27th. And if you go to awakenhersoul.com, you can just get on the wait list for that. And be sure to follow along on Instagram. If you get my emails, you'll be notified whenever we open the doors. So until next time, thank you so much for being here. You being here means a whole fucking lot to me. All right, talk to you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Everything Belongs. With the number of podcasts and content online and a very full life, I know the value of your attention, and I'm so grateful for every minute you spend listening to this show and having these conversations reverberate through your home, your car, and in your life. Thank you so much. If you loved this episode, please subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app so others might find this podcast. You can find the show notes for every episode on my website and find more out about today's guest by going to madisonmorrigan.com/podcast. And if you want to find a place to get started with my coaching work, the best place to do so is to download the Call Your Energy Back practice. It is a free journal guide and short hypnotic meditation to help you get into a daily routine of connecting to yourself so that you can take up all of your rightful space, embody your wholeness, and live with the power that comes when you really belong to yourself. You can go to madisonmorrigan.com/energy-back to download it right now. This meditation uses binaural beats, the brilliance of your subconscious mind, and powerful coaching questions to release the energy and emotions of other people, to generate a field of protection all around you, and will leave you feeling full of your true self, powerful, worthy, and whole. Now, if you're not already, please come and hang with me over on Instagram, DM me, and let me know your favorite part of this episode. And until next time, remember that curiosity can be a portal to a life where everything belongs.